following is a state secret, gentlemen. Disclose it to any party and you will be subject to prosecution. His name is John Mason, British national, incarcerated on Alcatraz in 1962, escaped in 63.
There's no identity in the United States or Great Britain. He does not exist. Secrets have a way of coming back to haunt you.
There's a hostage situation on Alcatraz.
Hostage?
81 tourist.
The Rock's a tourist attraction.
The one you train to defend you becomes your greatest threat.
A battery of VX gas rockets is presently deployed to deliver a highly lethal strike on the population of the San Francisco Bay Area.
And the one you abandon becomes your only hope.
You go talk to him.
Me?
Yeah.
Hiya. I'm an agent with the FBI. I'm Stanley Goodspeed.
But of course you are.
At least he got his name right.
Now, all that stands between a city and a disaster.
The power of this chemical is way beyond anything you can imagine.
That's why you're coming with us.
Is a man who's never seen combat.
You're a chemical freak.
I'm a chemical super freak, actually.
And another who's been out of action for 30 years.
Show us on the blueprints.
I can't. My blueprint was in my head.
Fortunately, some things you never forget.
But don't worry. It'll all come back to me.
From Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, the producers of Top Gun and Crimson Tide, and Michael Bay, the director of Bad Boys.
Welcome to The Rock.
We got visitors.
Sean Connery.
You sure you're ready for this?
Do my best.
Your best? Losers always whine about their best.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Listen, I'm just a biochemist. I drive a Volvo. Beige one. So what do you say you cut me some friggin' slack?
Ed Harris.
Fire.
Welcome back to Matinee Baseball. I am Ted Flint. I'm joined by Jake Voss. This is not Matinee Baseball.
This is baseball.
We have not done Matinee Baseball in 2 years. Back to the movies. You should go check out Matinee Baseball if it's still on Spotify. I think some of our older episodes are gone. Spotify ate them for some reason. Dicks. But find some newer ones. You know where those are slowly going to. Like I said, back to the movies. I am Ted Flint. We are a part of the Tailgate Society. Find us on your podcast app of choice. iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. Not YouTube, iHeart, not Stitcher. Stitcher's dead. It's vaporized. Back to the movies, the podcast in which we rewatch a movie that maybe one of us hasn't seen or some of us haven't seen in a bit. And we're doing like a kind of a summer blockbuster stretch here. We had Speed last week, last podcast. We're doing The Rock this time. And then next time we're in Armageddon, like Michael Bay back to back. You know, a little Michael Bay-ness. Man knows how to blow shit up. We were doing 1996, The Rock, has Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, and also go check out the tailgatesociety.com. Like I said, I am joined by Jake Voss and Sean Chantez Festerman. Before we get to the movie, if you've never seen The Rock and you'd like to just listen to us have a drink and discuss it and whatnot, we like to do what's called The Wheel. Sometimes I get a little creative and do something that's not The Wheel. And you know what? Yeah, so I have these three little green balls in front of me. They're marked 1, 2, 3. Jake is 1, Sean is 2, I am 3. The girlfriend made these. 2 of these taste like shit. 1 of these tastes good. And I'm going to bite into them, much like the bad guy who dies at the end of this movie. And whichever one tastes good, that's the person that does it. All right, so 1 is Jake, 2 is Sean, and 3 is me. So we're going to go. Number 1. That's terrible. That's bad. That's real bad. Give me a second. I'm good. All right. So we got 2 and we got 3 left.
At least your skin's not boiling yet.
Okay. Do you think she purposely made me three, so I have to eat two bad ones first. Like, what are the odds that we got on this? Like, should I eat three first, second? Like, should I, like, save myself? You guys got to vote on this? Because Jake's safe.
Sean,
do you think your ball tastes good or bad before I bite into it? Or should I just eat my ball? Okay,
phrasing.
Surely she wouldn't have made me go last knowing that I have to eat two of these disgusting things first. Because she loves me, right? And she wouldn't do something terrible like that to harm me.
You would think, but
all right,
who's to say?
I'm going to show faith, and I don't even know what this is. It looks like Jell-O, and like it looks like the inside of one of those like sleeve things back in the day that you would like shake, you know, like the little slimy thing.
Yeah, that's a great motion. Yeah. You're lucky we don't do video. I know what you're talking about.
Because bite into a gooey ball. All right, number two, Sean, we'll see if this tastes good. And that's worse. So bad. That's like sour, disgusting, rancid fireball. Okay.
How mad are you going to be if one of those is actually the good one, though?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so technically, the third one should taste good.
Yes, and I should just not bite in and assume that it's good, right? So I should just take the wheel. I should just take the win.
I don't know.
Now Sean scared me about this third potential.
I think
potential. You better check. Oh, God. You know, this is like when someone hands you Rumplements at the bar and you know it's probably going to be okay, but also you don't want to because you're just worried. And you know what? I think I'm just going to put my ball to the side and we can eat it later together, me and her, and just together enjoy the final one.
Yes.
Because this way...
can enjoy your ball together later.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to save that for later.
This is all your fault.
This is going to be a group activity.
I didn't have anything to do with this. So.
That's going to be just a group activity that's enjoyed between people. Anyways, in 30 seconds or less, I'm going to 90 seconds or less. That last one tasted so bad. Oh, it's still in my mouth. All right. Slimy. 1996, The Rock, bunch of ex-Marines steal VX poison gas. They go to a place and then they get it using non-lethal terms. One guy doesn't make it. He gets the bad ball, dies. They go and we get Stanley Goodspeed. He is Nicolas Cage. This is like the first of three Nicolas Cage action movies before. Yeah, Stan Goodspeed. The girlfriend just said, "Are you not going to eat the ball?" in a text message. So, So Stan Goodspeed, he defuses a bio weapon early in the movie. You get the foreshadowing of the needle. Ed Harris takes over Alcatraz. You go get James Bond from the cell, which he's basically James Bond. They have a car chase. Lots of people die. An amazing scene in the shower. Prison shower. You know, the rare good prison shower scene. And then, just saying, scenes in showers.
Well, get your head out of the gutter. Depends on your point of view of how good that scene was, I think. But
I mean, it's just a great action movie scene. Like, just...
Yeah, no, anyways. It is a fantastic action movie scene. Sorry.
All the SEALs get killed. Just a deep bench of who's who character actors. Like, this movie has, like, a deep bench of actors. Like, just... like, the 15th person in the actor role sheet is the fifth actor in a normal movie, really. Everyone dies except Goodspeed and George Mason. Is George Mason, is that his first name? I think it is. Sean Connery, anyways. And then it ends with one of the most iconic... John Mason. One of the most iconic movie scenes of all, action movie of all time. Nicolas Cage with the flares at the end. You know, green smoke. I fucking murdered that 90 seconds. Almost like I have gunk in my mouth and I can't quite concentrate on what's happening. Anyways, go see this movie. Like, I feel like you have to have seen this movie if you're an action fan.
The puppies are mad at me right now. I can hear them from here.
Even, I guess, before we really dive into all of this, like, I know in a lot of, especially in these movies we've done for podcasts, like even with Speed and stuff like that, like, I have some things on this one that I am definitely critical of, because it's very easy to be critical of. It is a wild premise of a movie. But even through that, I'm just going, everybody in this movie and the acting and just what it is, this movie's so fucking good, man.
Right?
it's incredible. Like,
if you're expecting like a classic acting masterpiece, no. But if you're in for just a Michael Bay action movie with Cage and Connery,
right? Like, it's a Jerry Bruckheimer, Michael Bay, Nicolas Cage, Ed Harris, even just dropping a banger of a role.
Right.
Like, Sean Connery's incredible. Like, for what the plot is, sure, I can poke holes in the plot points and like that. But the people in this movie just bring it so goddamn hard. It is, watch the movie, man. If you haven't seen The Rock, go watch The Rock. Like, it just, it's so good.
This movie was probably one of my earlier introductions to Sean Connery. Which is,
I mean,
but also makes sense, kind of
time wise, yeah. I mean,
because it was like on TV when I was 10. what? That's how it works out.
Yeah, I guess
that part makes sense. In a weird little try and almost reverse some of the roles of this stuff. Like, we can definitely get into all of our first, you know, what we have, our first impressions of The Rock, but I guess, Ted, what's your first Sean?
So, yes, my first Sean, it might be this one. I mean, obviously, I'm older. It's either this or Hunt for Red October, which came out.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely Hunt for Red October.
Or First Night, which is a King Arthur movie in which he shows up for like 2 seconds. You know, like, but yeah, like, think about Sean Connery. Like, I knew he was James Bond, but like, to this day, I've only seen like 2 of his James Bond's movies. I think I've seen
like 4 total James Bond movies.
Okay. I mean, that tracks. But like, I remember watching this. This is one of the few movies I remember like distinctly. Like, 96, I was homesick from school. And the thing that my dad always did when I was homesick for school, which my mom hated, like, be like, well, let's go to the gas station in our small town that's 2 miles away that has 500 people. We had a gas station that you could rent movies from. And I very remember like renting this movie as a sick day movie, like with my dad, and watching it. And like, we're going to get to the ending, but I remember watching like the ending and being like, did they just fucking kill him? Did they just kill Nicolas Cage in this goddamn movie? Like, I have very distinct memory of being like, oh shit. Okay. You know, but like, yeah, like, this movie came out in 96. So I've been 14, depending on when it came out that year. Like, Michael Bay, like, this is definitely my first Michael Bay movie. So I think it's his second movie, right? Bad Boys straight into this, I feel like.
And yeah, I was pulling that up earlier because I was curious too.
But like,
and I don't have this sorted right.
So, but like, Sean Connery, like, is amazing in this movie. Like, and even then, like we discussed, like, that was our first Sean Connery movie, but like, I'm not sure how many Sean Connery movies I've seen. Like, this, Hunt for Red October, Finding Forrester came out after this, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but that's less than 10. You know?
Yeah, I mean, without going through the whole list, because I didn't do that, but I mean, I'm probably in the same kind of thing. Like, I know the whole thing of, I will tell you right now, I have never seen a Sean Connery Bond movie in my life. I know that for a fact. Like, the only Bond movies I have seen are Pierce Brosnan or
Daniel Craig.
What's his face? Daniel Craig ones.
Now I'm gonna go look so many Sean Connery movies I've seen.
6 Bond movies that he made.
So yeah, I mean, in
from my
count, The Untouchables. I might have saw Untouchables before this. I forgot he's into Untouchables. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like three movies for me.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a pretty small amount of movies for sure, and it is, like I said, for me, and if we do it someday, it's Hunt for Red October is just a fucking classic for me. Like that is, I've seen that.
Oh, sorry, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, so oh, Indiana Jones, and The Last Crusade. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely the first one. I'm done talking over you.
No, but you're good. It's so like, but beyond that, it's, I haven't watched a lot of Sean Connery movies. I definitely haven't seen, like, I've never seen a young Sean Connery movie. Everything I've seen him in, he's gray beard, gray hair, extremely Scottish, as Scottish as can be, but they still keep calling him English every time.
Isn't Scotland in England? I mean, I've seen Braveheart.
It's part of the UK, but yeah, it's, yep. Yeah.
I don't understand English states and shit. Like,
England
Wales
is different than the UK. The UK is a,
which is different from Great Britain, which right. is, yeah.
But is Scotland a country or is Scotland like a state?
Scotland is a country.
Scotland's a country.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Scotland is a country.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It is definitely a country.
No, it's not. Just like, anyways, Ireland. Keep talking.
It is.
I know Ireland's a fucking country, but Scotland is not.
Scotland is. It's part just like the, Northern Ireland
of the
it's
United just, Kingdom.
Just like Northern Ireland is.
Fucking goddamn it.
The UK is a group of countries.
Yes.
I feel like I'm not alone here. I feel like there's dozens
of
people.
Oh, no. Honestly, up until the last probably handful of years, I never figured out the whole, and I still don't have it all completely figured out, but I never figured out the whole like group of countries that is the UK.
So Wales is a country too and not like a state?
Yes.
Correct.
I hate all of this.
Today on Ted's geography class or lesson.
There's a country that's part of the United Kingdom.
I love this.
Wait, Scotland's mostly a fucking island? 790 adjacent islands?
I mean, I couldn't have told you that, but the island's got to be a part of some country somewhere. Somebody's got to claim them.
Fucking yeah. Stupid. Fuck you. This is why we broke apart from them. This is why we broke apart from their stupid asses.
Well, I don't think this is. I don't think it had anything to do with Scotland, but yeah.
England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland is the four parts of the United Kingdom.
Correct.
Wait. Okay. So the United Kingdom is
UK.
The UK. Is those four. But then this also includes the island of Great Britain. But the Great Britain, isn't that all those four things? How are they different? How is the United Kingdom and Great Britain
amazing,
different? How are they not the same? How are they not the same thing?
We don't have time for this. We need that.
So yeah, so the movie.
Stupid.
So let's talk about the opening scene.
Yes. The non-lethal. We're talking about like the voiceover. Like you realize that like all these troops got fucked over and Mason's actually not a bad guy, not Mason, Hummel. So yeah, the opening scene like really like sets the stakes really fast because like these guys go in without bullets, take over that shit, and poor, you know, Boyle Face dies horribly. Like,
okay, so my first note on this entire movie is that one, incredible accuracy with these harpoon guns to put these fucking
somehow pierce into concrete brick or whatever, yeah, and lock in, yeah,
but they lock them into a 3-foot concrete barrier on top of a guard tower so that they can zip line down into it and then shoot a non-lethal beanbag into a guy's chest just so he falls out of a window 30 feet and dies anyway.
Yeah, they make that.
I feel
they
like that's counterproductive.
Yeah, they make that seem like he falls, and it's not, you know, like three stories that he falls, and he's just like okay, and it doesn't kill him.
Yeah, and he's
kind of like
he's
when Batman beats the shit out of someone. They're like, well, he didn't kill him. He paralyzed that poor bastard, but he didn't kill Batman. Batman doesn't kill.
He'll never walk again. But yeah, so you have this voiceover, and it's the whole thing about Hummel, and
Hummel's not a bad guy. I mean, he's kind of a bad guy, but I like a good movie.
I mean,
where, like,
he's
a bad guy's
he's
not wrong.
Definitely a bad guy. There's a note in here for sure that is it's poor execution, and it's bad execution for good intentions.
Hummel needs to get the Wreck-It Ralph speech. I'm not a bad guy, I'm just a bad guy, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's backwards.
It's an interesting character, to say the least, because you kind of, it starts out as, you know, we get introduced to him, and then in the very opening we get introduced to his wife, who apparently just died not too long ago, because that date, March 9th of 95, would line up with being like 4 months before this, because they later date it to October, like the beginning of October. So he's just coming off of dealing with whatever other shit, and then she also apparently died. And then as the movie goes, it's like, oh, this guy's a psychopath.
He's a poster child for men don't do anything but go to therapy.
And then
men will literally take over Alcatraz.
And then as the movie goes on, it's like, oh, okay, he's just severely disgruntled and wants justice. He doesn't actually want to murder millions of people, but, you know, the other guys are actually psychopaths, so it becomes a problem. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that I didn't remember the exact setup for the movie, or for the main premise of the movie, of being on Alcatraz with the, or obviously remember that, and having the missiles and the guys and breaking in and whatever, trying to disarm the missiles. But the whole setup of like them breaking into the base, and the one guy getting like locked in the cooler with the freezer with the one little
with ball the one
that
ball,
gets broken,
yeah,
and his skin melting off, and still don't exactly understand how.
Can we discuss Nicolas Cage
boiling from the inside
with the like the needle? Could you shove a needle into your chest? Are you the guy that's with Nicolas Cage? It's just like, are you fucking serious? You want me to shove this into my fucking heart?
I don't know. I don't understand why they were telling them to do it preemptively.
Because the suits are going to melt.
Right.
The suits melt, then they're all dead.
Once it comes through the suit, you have to, they say it later, once you come in contact with it, you have 20 seconds to inject yourself with the giant fucking needle.
No. The stuff at the end, but not the shit that they're fucking around with at the beginning. That's a different poison.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. It was different. Well, it was something different. I don't.
Because he was like, you gotta do it before the suit melts or you're fucked. You kill us all.
Yeah, so, I mean, even to what Jake's saying in that, is that you had, weirdly has the antidote on hand.
Well, so apparently there's just one generic antidote
for everything. For all VX gas of all the, yeah. So, but it's just like, it is one of those things of, if you have it on hand because you think it is something in there, why not pre-treat yourself with it?
I don't think that's how it works.
Can you come up, but, well, I mean, yeah,
why wouldn't?
You could. All, like,
maybe it doesn't last very long.
Okay, I guess maybe, but I feel like I'd come up with a better way than having to stab yourself in the heart with a 4-inch needle to.
Like, what's his name? Says, you want me to stab this in my fucking heart? Are you fucking serious right now?
And again, it's, he has to theoretically stab this needle through what is supposed to be an extremely protective coat.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically
while water is coming down.
That has to be thick as shit. Yeah,
yeah,
he can't.
It's just like rubber or some kind. Most rubber.
We're gonna get to the needle part, because like when he ends up doing it at the end of the movie, We're going to discuss how he gets nowhere near his fucking heart with that thing. That thing's like,
but yeah, but there's a few belly buttons. And then also, like, you would think possibly in that first scene with Nick Cage, in that just like, hey, since it's potentially a giant box of terrorist ordnance, maybe don't fuck with shit that comes in it. So maybe don't wave high on the baby arm four times.
Right.
So, like, again, everybody involved, pretty stupid.
What do you guys think of the Carla part? Like, I have a couple of thoughts about the Carla part. She's also from a show called Las Vegas back in the day. So we like recognize who she was. But like, great part where he's like, you have to be stupid to bring a baby in this world. She's like, oh, by the way, pregnant. An extremely 90s pregnancy test that she holds up. Like, that's not a stick. It's like
a little vial thing that she
has. Yeah.
It turned blue. The whole thing turned blue.
I understand why you have the cliche like romance
toss in a sex wedlock scene just because that's completely pointless. Like why are we having the sex scene atop the roof?
It's very 90s to for
an incredibly awkward sex scene.
But you can
so awkward.
And we're not, you could take her completely out of the movie. Like there doesn't need to be a love interest. Like,
well, component she needs to be there, I think, because that's the reason to how Connery and him, Mason and him, like, connect. Because Mason has a daughter.
Bond moment. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I guess, but like, there is no like heart to heart, like, scene where they make that the key point as to
why. At the end, he says, I didn't want your kid grown up without a father. You know, when he comes back.
I guess.
it's very. I don't know. A lot of it's kind of tongue in cheek and brush. I don't want to say forced, but it is.
Yeah. But that, like, yeah, but
they don't have, I will say of for the only sort of romance in it, when she does present that positive pregnancy test, Nick Cage delivering the
neat.
How do you know? And I mean, how do you know? It's just it's just incredibly well delivered.
and like Sean said, the sex scene is super awkward and
it's
like
very weird. It's
and like we are not a podcast that kink shames, but like he's wearing cowboy boots but no pants. Like what the fuck is he doing in that scene?
Yeah.
Like did he take the pants off and then put the boots back on? I have so many because he has a shirt on. He's poo-bearing
it. Everybody's dressed in the scene.
He's poo-bearing it with cowboy boots.
Certainly upstairs. Interesting. An interesting way to set that up.
And then the FBI calls and he's like, how do they know you're home? He's like, it's the FBI.
yeah.
You know, that scene's so terrible. It's on right now. It's awful. Like, I don't get any of it. So, all right.
So it's... Before we move off of that, to my point, like there is not a single part of those. I mean, other than it's just funny when he's like talking about how he had a bad day and bringing the kid into the world. Like that's funny because it's just like him going off. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. Like that's a comedic part, I guess. But I just don't think there's any part of that had to be there by any means.
And it's even I think it's in that same scene that like she does the whole like will you marry me and he just laughs it off and she's like no this is me proposing to you and then it literally just fades to a sunset like he doesn't answer and then
well, the answer is him on top of the roof
that's not a yes
it's like it's not a no
but it's
and he does say before there like after he gets the phone call he's like I will marry you.
Right.
I guess he has a robe on. He's not Pooh Bear. He has a robe on. My bad.
But yeah, and cowboy boots. It's a level of. It's a very.
All right. Let's move on from.
It's a very Chris Pine and Fantastic Four like avoiding marriage sort of scenario.
What the fuck are we referencing the shitty ass early Fantastic Four movies?
Yes, we are. But it is just like, he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, we can get married. And then he, and this is all before he has to
go see
do the rest of the movie.
All right, yeah. Well, it's all right. I talked about it earlier. This movie has like a just a deep bench of who's who, like people. So like someone, all right, is there a famous actor that you did not realize what that was in this movie? Instead of that, since I feel like that there's three famous actors that we all knew were in this movie, who's your favorite character actor that's in this movie? Because there's like there's at least 15 that guys in this movie. You have Michael Biehn in this movie, fucking the dude from Tombstone. I can't even name it now. The bad guy that Doc Holliday Andrew kills.
Anderson, oh, in that movie.
He's also in Aliens. He's
Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo. He's in Aliens. He's in the first Terminator. Kyle Reese.
I forgot John C. McGinley was in this movie.
Yeah, Dr. Cox Cox goes down bad.
Cox down.
I'm not sure he dies. Like, I don't understand how he quote dies in that scene, but. He's got his feet on fire, man. He's still fine.
Yeah, I didn't.
We have Leo McGrady from The West Wing showing up as Womack. You have the guy from Yes, Dear as the gay barber guy.
Oh, so that was the one I had down.
You have David Morse as a helper. We have Tony Todd as the guy in the Mercs. The other guy, Boheme. What's his name? Boheme Woodbine as another guy. Like. So Claire Fioni for Lainey as the daughter shows up for a second. William Forsythe as the other asshole merc. Like just like people that we all recognize. They were like, I know that guy from something. I'm sure of it.
Right. It was like damn near every ancillary character they introduced. It's like, oh yeah, I know that person. I don't know their name probably, but I recognize.
But you were somebody. Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, I originally had down just Dr. Cox in in big letters, but then it was I had to go pull up his IMDb because I knew I recognized him, but it was the stylist who was
the main dude
on Yes, Dear, which then it just popped into my brain of just like, oh my god, that's just in that
area. To know if you like your haircut. It's so terrible.
Yes, Dear is just one of those movie or not movies, but TV shows in the early 2000s that I think has just been erased from the internet.
I like, still remember the opening. It's them trying to get across the highway to get to the beach, right? They're all holding shit.
I don't know that you could find it anywhere. It feels like one of those things
who's
that like
the other,
if you
who's
don't...
the other dad in that? Like who it's him and then there's someone else that's the other guy. I can't look the other dad brother character in Yes, Dear. I'd look it up. Mine is William Forsythe, which is I was actually wrong. It's the second in command FBI guy at the mustache. I love the ending when he's like he covers up Mason being alive because he knows he's not dead. He's like vaporized. Like he's cut because he's like you held this man for 30 years without due process,
right?
Which apparently is something you can do now in this country. But yeah I love that guy.
Topical.
I think William Forsythe's.
Alcatraz is very topical right now too.
Ernest Paxton was that character's name. I think that was probably my favorite ancillary character outside of the main whatever four, five.
So Anthony Todd, of course, who just passed away from the Final Destination films and Candyman.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he's not death in Final Destination, but he's definitely death in Final Destination.
So, all right, let's talk about Dr. Cox's character. Because we're going to get into this. We'll do it right now. The girlfriend and I are watching this tonight. And we start ranking, like, the worst way to die is in this movie. Like, which guy got the worst? Which one, like, went out the worst? And I'm like, does Dr. Cox's character die? So all Mason does is light his feet on fire. They fight on the rope and then he falls like 20 feet into the water. Like, and then they show his body down there all like floaty upside down. But like, do I miss like a headshot where he punches him? Like,
no, I think it's just the assumption that he falls that far and that, you know, and he's on fire, but he does fall into water. So
He also was just attached to like the cart thing or whatever. So you know, I mean, it's just a combination of all the stuff. You just go, oh, okay. I mean,
he's just getting for that crushed in all of his. Like it's best case scenario. He's Will Ferrell in the Austin Powers movies. Are just like, I'm not dead, but my legs are very badly broken. Sort of scenario.
Well, I think
so. Like, it's not good if you do survive that. Like, also, you're just left down there for dead. Like, nobody's coming for you. Like,
you don't think they're sweeping the island?
No, so. I don't believe so.
I think aside from the people that die from the chemical balls, I think Tony Todd's character, like,
oh man, Rocket he dies man
getting launched and falling. Getting impaled is the worst one.
Because that dude bleeds out for like 10 minutes, right? Like, that's not an instant death.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 10 minutes, but it's not like you die right away.
You feel a lot. You've
got a lot of pain and a lot of bleeding out that happens, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I did have... I had it noted as I was watching today of just... I don't know how many like deaths we've really had throughout all of the podcasts we've done, but at least that first one of watching that dude's skin boil from the inside out is, I mean, that's bad. That's not good. That's not comfortable because he's screaming in pain the entire time. Like,
well, they say like it kills your nervous system. You spasm so hard, your back breaks.
And but it boils
on your own puke.
You can't breathe.
But it's but it boils your skin off first.
Yeah, I don't understand that is okay. My biggest complaint or thing about this movie is actually why the fuck does it somehow boil your skin off? If you're around it, but if you take this antidote thing, it doesn't affect your skin and prevents your nervous system from shutting down. I don't understand the whole process there.
Right. So
I'm assuming that your skin's boiling because it does some reaction to your insides.
But your skin isn't going to like boil and peel off because of a reaction on the inside.
Also, in the beginning, the dude drops one, it bursts, but Nicolas Cage's shoe doesn't break it when he drops it. It just hits his shoe and it rolls.
Well, we can also talk about the fragility of the balls.
Balls are very fragile. You should be careful of them.
I mean, Nick Cage is like performing action always stunts cup with the balls. One in his hand and
always cup
in his pocket. Don't forget to open the throat.
The moment you stop respecting this, it will stab you.
But no, that's the one thing I'm like, all right, I get the rest of like the nerve gas potential of this thing and like fucking you up, but why does it boil these people's skin off? But when Nick Cage takes a shot to the heart from a giant syringe, that it prevents his, I don't know, it prevents the effect of the gas to boil his skin off.
You're not wrong, because even when they describe the entire thing, nothing about it is a blood issue, or it says it seizes your heart, it seizes your spinal cord and your nervous system and your skin. So it doesn't make sense that a shot to the heart just fixes everything. Like, that's not how the human body works. And
it's not one of the bigger, obviously, like we've talked about, you don't try and pick a movie like this apart necessarily. It's just like, why does the skin have to like boil off like that? It just, the shot isn't gonna prevent that from happening. So
all right, let's get on a happier moment. I want to go through this movie has just so many banger quotes. Like, we are with the "Do you hate the haircut?" What is everyone's favorite quote from this movie? I don't know if I can pick a favorite. This first movie in a while that like I say random quotes from this movie all the fucking time and no one knows what I'm talking about. Like,
I don't think there's any that I use consistently. There's several quotes that I noted that I liked. I mean, I love when he, after he rolls under the boiler and they think that he like left and he opens the door and just has the welcome to the Rock line.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. It's not like, obviously it's not a quote that you're going to like really probably use in context, but I love that quote personally.
So,
I mean, especially ahead, just for, again, not that ever have taken it from this movie. I guess this kind of goes back to, I don't know that I've watched this movie at least front to back as an adult. Like, I know at some point as a kid over the years, I mean, I've watched bits and pieces of all of it. But at least going forward, I can throw on a little bit of a Scottish accent, and I can throw in just the personally, I think you're a fucking idiot. And I, you know, and if anybody's mad, just it's from The Rock, man. I think you're a fucking idiot, you know.
Yeah, when he's distracting Ed Harris's character, and
yeah,
this is an act of lunacy.
Yeah,
and personally, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Just tearing him down, and just yeah, personally, I think you're a fucking idiot.
So, a quote that me and my son. Go ahead.
One of them, I was talking with a buddy of mine. This may shock you. I watched this at the bar again today.
can you at least bring a computer with you? Can you just like bring
called
a computer?
It. Called it, by the way.
but a my bigger buddy screen, said, a bigger screen than the phone to the bar. My a buddy tablet.
Said, my buddy said in sixth grade he got detention because he said, and this was, and maybe he got detention for quoting it wrong, but he did say he got detention for one day he had scissors in his hand and he told the buddy of his, I'm gonna gut you like a fish, boy. Which no, that's not they don't say like a fish, it's just I'm gonna gut you.
I'm gonna take great pleasure in gutting you, boy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take great pleasure in gutting you, boy. Oh man, like my favorite, like me and my son do this one all the time, like just out of context, one of us will go, you've been around a lot of dead bodies, is that normal? And my son will be like, the feet thing? And I'll be like, yeah, the feet thing. He's like, yeah, it's normal. And I'll be like, well, what do we do about it? I'm going to kill him again? And like, it's like random shit. Like, we'll just be in the car. And one of us will just start that quote. We'll just go back and forth. Okay. And he's like, or like right after he drops a goddamn, he shoots the AC, drops on the dude. And Nicholas Cage, yeah. Like, that's one of the most awful things I've ever seen right there. You know, like, or under, like, you guys even mentioned. So the whole car scene happens just because in the script, they're like, this is too much time between initial raid, Alcatraz. So they build this whole car scene. They're like, Michael Bay fucking blow shit up.
That's a Michael Bay classic. Like,
oh, yeah, it's Michael Bay and you're in San Francisco. So you have to jump all the hills in San Francisco. And
I have a question about that scene, and I think it's okay, but an actual semi-logical question that could be asked is, he just hops into a Humvee and drives it.
Yes. Well, they're at the car. They're giving the keys to the people.
I think they line the timelines up enough. I was thinking he was probably that he would have been in like Alcatraz or in prison longer than he was, but because I think they talk about him getting locked up or something happening in 62, and then they say he escaped in 63. So it's probably okay, but at the time, all we know about him is that he escaped like in 63 before Alcatraz was shut down, and he had been in prison for X amount of years.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's 96. So they said 30 plus. He escapes in 72 from Sam Quentin. And that's right. How he makes but the my, baby
my,
with.
My question was more,
how can he drive a Humvee?
Does he know how to drive? I think, and the Humvee is like pretty basic stuff. So I think it's fine that he could just hop in a Humvee and drive it. But like, if you took somebody that went into prison in like the early 50s and then just dropped him into the 90s.
Also, how's he know the
problem?
And
said, hey, jump in a vehicle and drive it. Can they drive it?
Also, how does he know what a prom queen is? When the prom queens happen? Like, he goes, I agree. Like,
when he makes a comment or two, I think in that little interview in that interrogation about just like, oh yeah, you guys have this now, you know, this is just obviously very shut off from technology and whatever the world is. But I think at least in a pretty simple sense, he could hop into some level of any kind of car and at least understand how to throw it and drive and drive it.
It's probably reasonable, but it did cross my mind. Like, there is some kind of like cutoff there where, like,
at
some point you would not even be like, you may not even be someone who's driven a vehicle, depending on how early you got put in prison. And then, like, to just jump into a Humvee, it's probably not that big of a deal. It just crossed my
mind. It's maybe a little different if it was somebody, like, if you tried to go modern day of where, like, if it was somebody who went into prison in 1994, 1995, and came out now, and you jumped in one of these cars that just has a dial as the shift.
He's probably stuck. Dodge Ram truck with a dial shifter or a Tesla with a giant screen in it that they don't know what the fuck they're looking at. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably fair. It crossed my mind. I was like, yeah. I don't know. You're potentially crossing a line of just like assuming he can do things with stuff that is modern, you know, at the time that he had never may have never seen. So, but anyway.
But they're all super smart, Jake. They're all smarter than anybody you've ever met.
Mason's pretty smart, but like back to the quotes. Nicolas Cage steals a Ferrari because of course he does, because you know can't just steal a sedan. And the trolley the trolley that blows up that shoots 50 feet in the air somehow, because I don't know if there's gas on trolleys, but anyways, a trolley goes down, smushes a Ferrari,
famously connected to electric lines. There is no gas on.
Apparently, if a cop car hits an electric line that's down, though, it will fly 35 feet in the air straight up. Anyways,
Michael Bay action scene, man.
Dude, I mean, I'm not talking. I love Michael Bay. Should be a director whatever the fuck he wants. We need like Michael Bay should be. Contractually obligated to give me an action movie every 2 years. I don't give a shit. They're garbage. I will go watch them. I did not like Ambulance. It gave me a fucking headache, but it's fine. I just want to watch it. I'll watch it if it's out there. Anyways, Ferrari gets smoked, and that dude's like, you just fucked up your Ferrari. And he goes,
it's not mine.
Neither is this.
Just throws that poor kid off his dirt bike.
And then he calls Inglewood, and he's like, I just stole some dude's motorbike. I'm not feeling great about it. And apparently just any FBI agent can just like search anyone and find them and just like, you know, like either way.
I understand there's a level of like, even if I go back to 2004, if I could transfer back into my mindset, then like I had,
96.
But I was just saying, if I had a Rolodex of phone numbers memorized in my brain that like I could get a hold of all of my friends.
He calls him directly, doesn't he? Yeah,
They just dial people. They dial the head of the FBI from Alcatraz, which again, we'll dive into this here in a minute of how they got all of the technology into Alcatraz on like two helicopters to have video calls, 15
Metal Gear Solid type green screen faces.
I
love the fact that they have bombs that blow up like the under caves. Like all these baggage have these bombs that just like drop. You like they think they're like loading the helicopters like, hey Bob, you want to get those bombs, you know, just also, in case we got to fucking nuke the basement.
Also, they, unless I missed it, and I don't think I did. They just have two Hueys.
Yeah.
Like no, they never address the fact that they just have two Hueys. Like,
I mean,
they talk about them, or they show them going to the place and getting the VX gas or whatever, and that.
So, and I had it in my notes of just like, I assume in some scenario, again, it's not shown, but like, that's how these other military guys
got there,
that's how it just
it's not that big of a deal, but it was just like they showed up with like these guys coming in with two Hueys, and I was like, where the fuck did the helicopters come from, man?
It's
called in a favor, I guess, you know, called in, like, you know. But yeah, also I had the bag phone that Mason calls to find out where his daughter's at. I had a version of that because I'm old. But all right, I feel like there's more quotes that I'm missing that I'll come back to me, but like
you forgot the, what do you say we cut the chit chat, a-hole?
What we should, all right, that's right before that's one of my favorite part, like, is when, like, I like when good spit Cage goes and, like, he could have thrown Mason underneath the bus. He's just like, hey, you know, your dad's working for us, you know, he's helping us out, like, even though he's surrounded by 85
while guys. All of the cops and FBI are pointing have their guns drawn at him.
You could have handled that differently or something like that.
The entire military forces coming to that place like it's a taco stand in San Diego, apparently. Either way, so I love the Navy SEALs. Let's just skip ahead. So they get to the thing. They found out, like, Mason pulls, I can't show you. I got to be there. And then the whole, like, Nicolas Cage is like, Nicolas Cage being like, I'll just fucking show you guys how to just do this shit. And like, no, you're coming with us, buddy. I know one thing. You're no anti-terrorist guy or whatever on the airplane helicopter. The question I have for you guys, if you're in a resort in Mexico and they give you the option of scuba diving with those fucking things that they have in the water, are you saying yes? Like the underwater motorcycles that they're riding, or like, which were you picking up?
I want the, like, handheld, the little handheld one that pulls you along out in front of you. But also, is that supposed to be like is the detraction from, like, scuba diving? Because I would go scuba diving without the little.
But yeah, I'm not going scuba diving. I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, I would.
No, I'm not saying. I mean, I'm saying if you have enough balls to do scuba diving, which of those two machines are you picking to fuck around?
Like on? I said, I want the little, like, handheld one that's like a little.
Yeah, the little almost boogie board sort of thing.
Because the other one's like an underwater jet ski thing, and that seems less fun to me.
Do you think that thing's real, or do you think it was made for this movie? Do you think that the underwater
for that movie? Well, I think that one was specifically made for this movie. Do I think similar things have existed? Yeah. Or do exist?
Yeah, I don't feel like it's especially in a special ops operation. It's as practical as just a quiet little basically trolling motor to push you through water.
Also,
do you think they go back for those? Like, do you think they go back and, like, after everything, like, they send some scuba diver down and they get that shit, or they can maybe just
look at the defense
off?
And we'll get into this in a little bit. Look at the defense budget. They don't go back for anything, man.
That's part of the getaway for Mason as well. As Cage is like, you know, that stuff's still there. You get back there,
take it back. Yeah,
you can take it wherever you like to go. One thing from that scene of the when they're down underneath the water is they show some of, like, the readings from the displays on the little propulsion things. And it shows, like, 5 meters underwater and 66 kilometers per hour. If you were going 66 kilometers per hour holding on to one of those things, your shoulders would not be in their sockets anymore.
All right. I'm going to use that as a segue to back up. That motherfucker gets his arm ripped off of his body that he throws off the balcony of that hotel, though. Roof.
Yeah. His shoulder is at least severely fucked up.
And all the skin keeping his body together? Like, I feel like he's going to the ER. He's not putting that shit in a sling.
I don't think it's severe enough to, like, rip your arm off of your body. But you got a lot of damage.
Womack. Okay. Real quick, forget about this. Is Sean Connery in this movie the original Silver Fox of older men? Like, do you think that came from this movie? Like, the gray-bearded Sean Connery-looking motherfucker? Dude looks good in this movie.
He's, at one point, he questions whether he lost had lost his sex appeal because he was not having to fend off sexual assault nearly as much anymore in the prison. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have a lot of other things put it against at this point, but.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's the, I don't know.
I guess he also looked like this in Hunt for Red October, right? He had the beard and the gray hair, like, and that's 3 years younger.
He's 66 in this, so.
I mean, 60. It's probably in that running, but yeah, kind of in that. I don't know that I have a frame of reference, but it's the sort of level of.
Google and Silver Fox became a turn.
You're looking at, I mean, you're looking at early 90s. This is, he started acting in what, the 50s? That's 40 years into an acting career. Like,
there was probably a generation or a group that definitely applies to. Yeah, thinking about how he went from being Bond for as long as he was and then into.
Yeah, I just.
It's from the 1920s.
Graying Scottish man with that accent from the 20s.
A baseball player named Jesse Petty, who was given the nickname Silver Fox because he's prematurely gray hair and lively personality.
Huh. Well, that's not fair.
Term is used to describe an attractive older man, specifically one who has or is beginning to show gray hair. Oh, anyways, good for that.
Yeah, from the 20s. As a celebrity, especially as an actor, like, I don't know, were there many actors in like the late 70s through the 80s that would have been actors in the,
I like to say I'm a chubby
50s that were
Sean Connery of my gray beard, very similar. same vibes. All right, so let's get to that shower scene, because I feel like we're dragging our feet. We've already been close to an hour plus, and we're not even like halfway through the movie. All time, we're in like, we're gonna have slow motion people dying in battle, right? The I cannot give that order. I love fucking Hummel being like, he's like, you know, Hummel says something, Hummel like, you know, General, you can't do that shit. And he goes, I don't care. I'm up here. You're down there. Shoulder your weapons.
He's just trying to get them to give up, because this is the first, I think this is probably the first sign we have of
calling the bluff.
His character, yeah, he doesn't actually want to like murder a bunch of people. He's just trying to leverage power and the threat to make change in some way. And, you know, they don't start firing off in that scene because he tells them to. It's because the one guy's we also get the first glimpse of the mercenary guys that he hires being actual psychos, and they decide that they're going to just start shooting people. Well, they don't start shooting people, but they knock a brick down into the showers, which spooks one of the guys in on the ground, and then everybody just starts shooting each other. And Ed Harris is just like screaming to cease fire because he didn't actually want that shit to pop off. He was just trying to get them to give up.
And like, and they also like laid a breadcrumbs for that early on. Like, they like say, all these men are underneath my command, except these two jackasses who come recommended from so-and-so.
Right.
They're laying the breadcrumbs that like there are people in the group that aren't as stand-up-ish as everyone else is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's the risk of running a mutiny of, at that point, it is, once you convince everybody to have a mind of their own, some of them might have an extra mind of their own. And I did have a note before this, and I don't know if you want to dive into it now or maybe towards the end of the movie, but of how, for what it is, probably from the get, you just blanket Alcatraz with bombs.
Well, they said you can't, and if you had been watching at a bar, you would have caught that.
You absolutely can.
They said it won't kill the poison. They said it won't kill if we hit a regular bomb. That's why they need that thermo whatever bullshit.
But they can't launch it. If you murder everybody on the island, they can't launch the missiles.
But how do I you understand murder everybody on the island without blowing
the hostages?
No, but how do you like?
But it doesn't matter. The missiles are far enough away. It, they're not.
Well, they had them set up all over the island. You don't just blow the island up without blowing the missiles up.
Because then it'll go up in the oxygen and everyone's dead. The wind blows a certain way.
Yeah, paper that, was the, whole point.
Paper or plastic.
That
paper
was the whole point of why they waited till the end. Glass or plastic. The planes didn't come in until the end is because they had this like experiment or still an experimental process like hot right, enough this thermite bomb that could vaporize.
I love how we're trying to like defend the rock.
Well, it's just but why they structured, why it was structured that way. Or
yeah, like that. That's why they. That's why, like in movie log, they can't blow it up because the poison still gets out and it kills everybody. Don't blame us.
But it's even because they even address it in the movie of like the people in the defense room are just like we're at the point of we're before they even have the thermite stuff ready to go. Of they're just like, you know, weighing the issue of like it's 81 hostages versus a million people dead.
If they get the thermite, so you, if they get it done by then they do it.
Yeah, because you you blow the missiles up and you don't vaporize the gas still expands out. Like it's a shitload of, I mean, relatively, it's a shitload. Because
the dude says like, what happens if some of this gets out? And he's like, oh, it's like 60-70. He's like, oh, it's not bad.
Like a teaspoon of this will kill people within 100-foot radius. One of the balls.
It was a teaspoon in the atmosphere.
So if you're shooting the bombs, the shit's shooting up into the air. It's We need a scientist. Scotland's again, not a country.
In all of this, it just doesn't feel it. Yeah.
All right. What is something that you did not realize was from this movie? Since you guys have said you've been a minute since you guys have seen it. Is there anything that you're like, oh, that I forgot that's in this movie?
I don't think there was anything for me that stood out. As
somebody could have reminded me of the prom queen quote, and I couldn't have told you.
You didn't know that was from this movie?
I knew it was from this movie, but at one point I knew it was from this movie. If you would have asked me yesterday, said, hey, this is the quote, where's it from? I would have been like, I don't know.
Man, teenage me loved that quote. 42-year-old me is kind of like,
yeah, I mean, quote. It was one of those like, oh, yeah, there's that quote. Oh, yeah, that's not okay. It's not
the Carla case. Was the prom queen.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like Carla's a good 15 years younger than Stanley, but, you know.
That's not true, actually.
Really?
Nicolas Cage was 32.
No, he wasn't. Norm Peterson type 32-year-old Asian right there. That's some fucking Cheers actors.
She was 28.
Oh.
From what I saw on IMDb, so no, huh. he just had a tough hair time with his hair.
Can't relate.
Yeah, me either.
So, Sean's still doing the math on the VX poison gas.
Yeah, it's far enough away. You bombed the island, man.
nuke those motherfuckers.
So you evacuate the coastline and you bomb the island.
Well, okay, what is someone's least favorite part or something that took you out of the movie? It has to be the dude from Yes Dear just being so over the top 90s gay that it's just like, what are we doing here?
Doesn't be that.
Yeah. The takeaway is scissors.
Could be literally
like,
any kind of like hairdresser, barber person. It doesn't need to be like.
Did Van Gogh take away his
gay, like?
What's he say when he takes away the scissors? Like, did you take Van Gogh's brushes away or some shit?
Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Tell him to paint without.
Yeah,
brushes.
it's that, and yeah, and as soon as he walks in, just oh, you're the barber, and he goes stylist or whatever. Right. Just
like
oh
yeah, we
God.
Just have to make it the most stereotypical, flamboyantly gay person. You know.
Tell me if you like your haircut.
Yeah, and then he has this little freak out when they throw the guy over the edge and just he
I don't care. I won't tell anybody that you were here, that I saw you. I just have to know if you like the haircut.
Also, one of the few parts that I forgot about in the quotes is the when she's like, when Ranger Bob doesn't have a gun, you can't carry a gun. I got a fucking gun. I would have brought my fucking gun if I know this is going to happen or some shit. You know, when she's in the cell. All right. There's only one GIF from this. No, there's two GIFs from this movie, but one is super hard to find. And I used to have a high quality copy of it, and I've lost it to time, and it's sad. But does anyone have a favorite GIF from this movie that's not Connery doing the thumbs up?
I mean, I would imagine there's two. It's the thumbs up and then the flares at the end, right?
Mine, I used to have a real high quality GIF of them pulling their guns on each other. Like, just like the when the Mexican standoff there, like the guys like start pulling their guns on each other. Mm-hmm. As like if you like you would quote tweet someone like if you're fighting with someone that's like your friend.
You're talking about like the end or whatever, or towards the end.
Yeah.
With Ed Harris.
We need to start moving along towards that chunk, but right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I think it's the thumbs up GIF is the one.
I just love the thumbs up GIF. I only use it when like I'm seeding an argument because I don't want to argue it anymore. And I just like top it off. It's like, sure, whatever, dude, fuck off. Here's a thumbs up.
I forgot the context of that GIF as well.
Oh, it's so great.
It's like he asks him because it's when they take have the hostage out and they're like threatening to kill the hostage. And he just turns around and gives him the thumbs up. And
What about Bob's head?
Yeah, he's like, what about his head? And he just turns around and gives him the thumbs up. He's like, what does that mean? What do you mean? What is this?
I'll take on a highly whatever terrorist or whatever. So, okay. We get to the end. It all goes to shit. Hummel doesn't pull the nukes. He doesn't pull the shoots. He says not to shoot the weapons. It all goes bad. I feel like this is a good segue to like, what's everyone's favorite part of the movie / Goosebumps moment? Because like, it's all the same to me. Like, maybe not the same, but like, it's close. Goosebumps / favorite part of the movie for me. Did you guys get goosebumps at any part of this movie? Sean was at a bar.
I don't know. You get the. I guess kind of in that moment of the height of where it is the double to triple mutiny sort of shit of where it is just it's
so good
that Mexican standoff of just and then just yeah you know it's over and then he shoots the other guy in the shoulder and it's turns into all of that and it's. And you get the whole, then after that, the whole just, yeah, man, we dared them to call our bluff, but they called our bluff. And like, we're just out, you know?
And like the lead up to it. So great. He's like, what about the fucking money?
Yeah.
You know, like there is no money. Take your hostages, get out of here. And he's like, but, or he says something like, they think they don't know. We did shit on purpose. We fucked up. He's like, oh, so we're not gutless. We're incompetent. Like, this is not a better solution here.
And it's really good. The funny thing for those guys or to me with those guys is like, what did they think was going to happen when they got to the deadline and no progress had been made? Like, did they think that they were actually going to be able to get out of there? They didn't realize that they were just going to like destroy the fucking island at that point.
Right, like if they shoot a missile into the city and kills 80,000 people, they're just getting nuked. Like they're just getting like
they were so far down the road of like you're not coming out of this successfully. Like I don't know what's going to happen, but
that's what I had a note on that too. Just like okay, let's say you do fire the nukes or fire your gas missiles, I assume just there are. Two or three helicopters to get off of that island. Sure, you maybe poison the fuck out of San Francisco and that sucks. You killed a bunch of people. but every fucking fighter jet from San Diego to Seattle is coming straight at you and is murdering all of you anyway.
Even from the beginning. The
moment you're in the air, if you get in the air. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's the whole kind of the whole point of it. That's kind of Ed Harris's point is like, we were never going to, the only way this was ever going to work is if they just let us bluff and like leave without killing a bunch of people. But anyway.
But this is where
we also forgot "Welcome to the Rock" for our quote, which is the most cheesy line this whole goddamn movie.
I said that earlier.
All right, well, I missed it.
It's well delivered. The problem is that they already just forced the words "The Rock" down your throat 14 times.
I don't know. I still love just Sean Connery. It is very that line, good. Opening the door, delivering that line is beautiful.
Yeah.
But back to the Mexican standoff, and it's all going to hell. I love the second in command guy being like, you know, it's been an honor to serve with you, sir. Like before, like he points at him, then shoots the guy. You know, like But also before that, he's like, I'm telling you to stop as a commanding officer. I'm telling you to stop as an old friend. I'm telling you to stop as a man that's going to point a gun at you.
You know, it's the Ed Harris line of now you're being given your last chance by a man with a gun.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then he smarts off. He's like, "Oh, now you want to kill people or some shit?"
Right.
And he just, "I'm getting tests, or I'm getting warming up to whatever it is." Yeah, warming up to it.
So,
Ed Harris, for what it is, I mean, maybe it's just kind of his thing, but he's really good in.
Dude, he's great. He brings it. Like they said, it's Michael. I still think this is Michael Bay's best movie. Maybe Armageddon, but I think this is his best movie. Like what are you gonna put up against the first Transformers? I don't think so. Bad Boys,
not as far as if you want to talk about it as more than just the action stuff and whatever. I think it's Armageddon for me, but I wouldn't blame you for saying this movie.
Well, we're gonna discuss that in a few weeks,
right?
And just ask how many times we cried during it. Can maybe don't watch Armageddon at the bar so you don't cry in front of everybody, Sean? So
we'll see. Yeah, as far as all of it goes, I mean, it's just like I said, even just leading into this whole thing, like the actual acting and just genuine. I'm not a huge Nick Cage fan as it is, he's fine, but Sean Connery's incredible in this movie, just the way he's Sean Connery, man. He just knows how to dial in. Ed Harris is great. And for all of everything in it, it is a great movie. If I want to have, it's more of it. This is more of a Michael Bay. If I kind of want to get hyped movie and be part of it. Absolutely. If I just want to watch shit blow up, I'll watch Bad Boys 2 all day long. Not that there's not 1,000 explosions that don't need to happen in this movie. Talking about, you know, the trolley car and I think a meter made little trolley that is driving blows around, that blows he up. That they ram that Humvee into a telephone pole and still it drives away.
The studio note came down there's not enough action between the opening raid and Alcatraz, and Michael Bay's like, I got you. Say less.
I can fill 15 minutes.
Let's talk about, like I said, an old lady almost gets ran over. A car goes through parking, the meters, people on wheelchairs shoot in front of the cars. Like people are falling off a trolley in that car chase. But anyways, my favorite part, if we're not talking about the ending, which we're gonna get to in a second, my favorite part has to be, like I said, like mentioned earlier, the shower part when Michael Biehn's like, I cannot give that order. And he's just like, stand down. He's like, I cannot give that order. And he's just like, stand down. You're all going to fucking die. And he's like, I can't get that order. And then everyone, the slow motion, cool. As we're all kids, we're always like, ah, slow motion deaths. And then that idiot in the bomb's like, I got to go up there. And they're like, don't do it. And he's like, I got to go up. And it's like, that shit all sucks. So anyways, Mexican standoff. They all die, except for a few. Because the long-haired, greasy hair merc still survives in Tony Todd. We get to the end. He's like, I'm going to choke my $1 million out of you. And he shows that ball in that dude's mouth. And he's like, choke on this motherfucker, whatever the hell he says, like eat this some shit, and he punches him. So great. That whole like 5 minute sequence, he goes and he grabs the needle, the shoves it into his heart.
Yeah.
Obviously he misses his heart, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I love how like this movie,
I don't know, in the middle, the bottom of his sternum.
Right. I love how this movie does not trust the audience at all. So it has to like do like the voiceover of the flares just to remind you that's how he needs to like signal, like how, like instead of like letting him just pop the.
And then you get the, I mean, you have the, so he, you know, wakes up enough to, oh yeah, I've got, he's got the flares. He pops the flares and he's out there.
Full on Christ pose. Full on Christ pose on the ground.
He's lucky enough to be where he can see the jets, and he's trying to wave off to the jets. But then
Do you think he sees the jets? But I think he just like sees the sun.
No, they show the glare that you can see the jets coming behind the bridge as they're like dropping down.
Yeah.
But then the squad leader like drops the bomb. His bomb's already like
that's the best part. Like, so like he rolls out there, and he like starts shaking, you know, doing, and they're like the other guy in the camera, you know, and they're like green smoke,
call it off, and the guy's like, oh shit, and like it was too late for him.
I already dropped it, and like they already dropped it, like the goosebumps hit, like him out there waving the flares, already full on goosebumps. The first time I watched this movie, and I mentioned earlier in this podcast, I thought they killed him. Like, I'm like, oh, they...
Oh, no. He's dead as fuck. They even show him ragdolling through the air into the ocean. He's dead as fuck.
Well, that's why I thought he was dead. And I'm like...
But then he just walks out of the ocean with Sean Connery.
Have you not seen Fast Five? You can fall from any height in the water. You're fine. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't kill you. So like, yeah, but
also,
like,
yeah, that squad leader is fired for one of two reasons. Either you fired too early
or you missed your target,
or you absolutely didn't even come close to hitting your target.
But like, yeah, like I love that part. Like I already dropped them. You see Carla dropping to her knees. The bomb explodes. Nicolas Cage ragdolls into the ocean. But man, that whole part is so fucking good. And then my underrated line is, Mason pulls him out of the water and he goes, "The way you act, I'm surprised you survived puberty or some shit." Like as he's dragging him out, like one more, like "fuck you, man." Like I'm tired of saving your ass. Like, but like, yeah, I love the flares. I love like the scene of him like, of, and that's an all timer, right? The plane's above him as like he holds the flares out. Like that's an all time act. And before we in this podcast, Jake, I need you to remind me. I want to discuss like where this falls in the action movie echelon, but like, man, that lasts like 5 minutes, pure goosebumps. Everything from him punching the guy, needle, flares blown up in the sea, up until him calling and then being like, well, Mac being like, where's Mason? Him being like, he's dead. He's like, what do you mean he's dead? He's like, just come get me.
Vaporized, blown into the ocean.
And then like later on, he's like, but like that whole like 5 minute scene is amazing.
Yeah, they definitely close the movie well. I think, in general, there's parts of it that moves a little slow. It was like 131 minutes. Probably didn't need to be that long, but it caches pretty well.
Yeah, so I was surprised as I was watching it today, because I was kind of checking times just as we were getting through it, and I'm just like, we're an hour into this movie, and we are not on Alcatraz like and it's not that it's, I feel like you could definitely condense some of it, but it is, I mean, there's good part, definitely the little,
can't tell your story in another 2 hours, I don't want to hear it.
You have to introduce everybody, I get it. And you,
if you cut out the 50-minute car chase, it's too long, we all get bored.
Yeah,
it's just, I can attest after splitting this into two nights, because my girlfriend fell asleep right before the car chase scene. You gotta get that car chase scene in.
But there's a whole lot of, I mean, they spend 30 minutes building up to the idea that Sean Connery's so mysterious and we don't know who he is. But, and it's just like, yeah, we get it, man. He's a locked up secret.
You can just
agent
Google prison exist transfers, like, it's, and just... he's the only one that got transferred that day on that prison transfer list. You know, like it works out. Inglewood's pretty good. He's the man in the chair. So,
Yeah, he doesn't exist for, except for one file that this one guy can find.
All right. What are you guys seeing, like the stinger though at the end at the church? You want to know who really killed JFK?
I thought it was fun. He just gives him that one little thing for the where the microfiche is located.
No, we're gonna go to Maui. You should go to Fort Walton, Kansas.
No, nope, you should forget that and go to Kansas.
Yeah, it's a moment, sure.
I think it's fun because it gives you the like just the kind of fun ending of the payoff of, oh, okay, it closes out the lore of Sean Connery's character.
Right.
He did have all of that, as well as, okay, they got married, and then you have them just like running off with this, and now they're, you know, with the lore of whatever actually happened for all of those things that they listed that he knew, that Sean Connery's character knew about.
And it is, are we supposed to be under the impression that, like, did he kill JFK? Like, I...
Oh, no, I don't think it was that. He just had all the intelligence of all of this.
He escaped in 63, so I, you know?
No, I
don't know.
I mean, if you want to believe that, that's fine. It was just they set that up earlier. They told you all of the things that Hoover had, that, you know, all of the apparently secret stuff that Hoover.
Do you guys know the secret little Easter egg that connects this movie and Armageddon?
No.
Sean, do you know the secret little Easter egg that connects?
I don't know.
So the president in this movie is played by the same actor that is the president in Armageddon. So technically these take place in the same universe.
Sure.
It literally is. They're being directed by Michael Bay. Like, the president is the same president.
I'm not denying that that's the case.
That was cute. It's funny.
I'm not a person that thinks those, like, maybe it's the same universe things are.
It is. All right. Funny. I think Michael Bay.
Cute.
Who directed both. All right. I'm not fine.
Sorry to rain on that parade for you. But
it's
that's not something. I'm right. You're wrong.
Do they have the same name, or are they just the same actor?
I'm pretty sure it's confirmed.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that is not something that I really like that toots my horn.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fine.
Movies, so.
So the thing I wanted to remind you before we end up closing this in the notepad was, like, I'm a big action movie person. This came out in 96. I think until John Wick comes out, and what year did John Wick come out, Sean? 18? 16? I feel like it's 16.
16, no, it was like 17? 13.
What?
No, it wasn't.
Yes. It was 12 or 13. Yeah.
Okay. Is The Rock the best action movie until John Wick? American-made action movie. We're not talking about The Raid. Like, there's a long, like, lull of, like, just straight-up action movies between the... Because, like, Armageddon's a disaster movie. I'm not going to touch the Bad Boys movies. Like, they're fine.
But, like... No, I mean, you got your Mission Impossible.
Fast Five is there.
Mission Impossible's... Yeah, you can play plenty of
I'll give you Fast Five.
Fast Five is an action movie, and it's...
I'll give you Fast Five. Was it 11?
11.
Yeah. Either way, like
that was definitely was when they crossed over into okay.
But like a good decade, like The Rock held the title, right, of like the best action movie for a while.
I just the fast.
Yeah, I mean it's
my brain right away.
That's what I'm saying. So that's 2011. That's still 15 years.
I'm just saying I don't know if there's anything
up there, but
it's all right. Maybe I just hold on pedestal because like I caught like as a 14-year-old and like you know like obviously. Also, the fucking guy from Breaking Bad as well, and just random ass Marines in this, I'm pretty sure.
Double check that.
I'm about to look it up. I think it's Chico in Breaking Bad. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong. It's fine. How about you guys empty your notebook while I look this up?
I'm basically done.
I know I have not helpful. Here. I know I have in here that it didn't really make sense to me with whatever it, Carla is her name, the girlfriend. When he makes the comment of just like, oh yeah, my girlfriend's pregnant and she's coming to town, like I can't do this or whatever. And there's like, oh yeah, no, we'll make sure we bring her to the command center so she can be a part of everything you're doing. It's just like, why wouldn't you just like put her in a hotel and be like, she knows he's part of the FBI and just be like, he's on a job, like, and we'll just kind of
the command center that's right next to the water, so that way when everything goes sideways,
like, she's dead.
So
but it's also the whole movie, I think two or three times we drop the this is you need to know basis, but you don't need to know sort of thing. Like, that's why would she be in the command center? Like, she doesn't need to know any of this. You're a civilian. You don't have clearance to be around any of this. Just be in a hotel with room service. You already got it for the guy you escaped from prison to send back to Alcatraz. Give her 45 scallops and put her in a suite at the Fairmont and call it good for the weekend.
Couple notes. Taken, Live Free or Die Hard, Mission Impossible 3.
I'm not giving any of those.
I'm listing movies that people would probably argue ahead of.
When was the last time you watched Taken?
Or could argue ahead of this.
Taken has a great like monologue, but that movie's Born not
Ultimatum.
Great. All right, the Bourne movies, I should rewatch those. If only I had a podcast to discuss the Bourne movies on, you know, which, because have any of us seen the Bourne movies?
Not for a long time.
I love the Bourne movies. I think Jeremy Renner one. And it's okay.
Yeah, I think those, at least what Google gave me off the top, those would be the.
I will give you the Bourne Identity probably, but I really need to watch that movie again.
I'm not saying for sure. I was just looking at the list and like
what. No, I mean, the Bourne Identity is probably the one. When did that come out?
2001.
It's the first one.
I don't know where that one went.
Yeah, Bourne Identity is the first one.
Yeah,
I know. I'd rewatch that. I'm not sure how we could talk about that.
I haven't watched the Taken movies in forever. I mean, Taken 1 was 08, so.
I mean, it
I
is.
I will find you.
Very much. There's like a 6-year stretch, like. Liam Neeson made the same movie 14 times over and over again. And like, good for him for getting the paycheck for it. But
two. Yep.
Only other things I had in the notebook are, yeah, just about the why would you bring her to the command center? That doesn't make any sense.
You have to be real fucking piece of shit to bring baby into this world. Oh, pregnant.
How does that work? Never mind. I'm not going to dive into the logistics of the poison on boiling that baby's skin.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I did have, if they do, so they had the whole threat of, you know, they were going to start murdering hostages. If they even murder one hostage and you can even slightly prove it, then in some way you just bomb the island and call it a misfire on their end.
Sean is just all about bombing this fucking
island. And then it's just internet conspiracy theories from there.
Sean's notebook is just scrawled in big words, bomb the island.
Fuck the hostages. Bomb the island.
Shoot the hostage.
It is half of the notes, but the only one I have in all caps is, it's $100 million from the entire defense budget. What are we doing? That's a drop in the bucket.
That
pay the man.
That is probably my biggest thought on this. Is like, oh, you want $100 million? Okay, here you go. Here's 0.001% of the fucking $100 trillion we're spending.
But that would have meant that the government was wrong, and they.
I, uh, Black I understand Ops, looking at this in 2025, where we have the whole reports of
they lost a plane on the side of the aircraft carrier twice. That was $1 billion plane or some shit.
Where the Pentagon doesn't know where $800 billion goes every single year. $100 million means nothing.
Yeah. We don't need to break down fucking government. Speaking of budgets anymore.
Bomb the island. The girlfriend's one note was, why did he have to shoot the air conditioner on the guy's head? Couldn't he just shot him somehow differently? And I said, I'm pretty sure he was behind a desk.
Yes.
But she thinks he could have just got him.
Well, he already shot all his toes off.
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point he had the, like...
Also, we forgot to mention that guy in the works.
All the way pushed through out, and he probably could have shot... I don't know.
You know, that's also a really top bad death. Like, two-ton air conditioner on the skull. I mean, this is an instant death.
That's a great death. Yeah, that's an instant death. What do you mean?
That's where my note was, as I found it. It was, falling air conditioning smash death is the best podcast death we've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the best, but if you're giving me like
as opposed to the one that tries to step on the bus,
just smashing my head, you know, instant death is probably pretty good relatively.
Selfish Mrs. Robinson, who tried stepping on the bus and blown everybody up and also died. All right. Yeah, like I just, like I said, movie's great. Go watch it again if you haven't seen it in a minute. It's so fucking good. Nicolas Cage is great. I love the everything about this movie. It's probably my Mount Rushmore of action movies. Die Hard, The Rock, I have to back fair that the other two. Like, it's so many instant quotables. The dogs are chirping. They love it. So the moment we stop respecting these things that kills you, I looked at my girlfriend. I'm like, that's what I start saying about you. When I stop respecting you, she laughed.
She's laughing at right now.
At least she laughed. That's good.
All right. Should we call it a day? Come back for Armageddon and talk about how we're going to cry?
Armageddon in 2 weeks. Yep.
Dude, I'm going to cry in Armageddon, man. We're going to discuss
I cry every time I watch Armageddon.
I cry in a weird part. So I'm excited to discuss where I cry at. It's not where everyone else's cries. It's a different cry. So obviously
I'm not shocked by this, to be honest with you.
I'm a weird crier. Yeah, I understand. So. All right. Till next time, guys. Winners fucked the prom queen. What I got to say? Words to live by.
Yeah, here lies Ted perfect Flint. Words to live by. It sounds good.
Here lies Ted Flint. He died, but, you know, you want everyone to know winners fucked the prom queen.
Oh, boy. All right.
It's such a terrible line.
A couple weeks. It's so bad.
All right. Later, guys.